Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
It's time for the BAQA. The BAQA. Okay, the BAQA. Do you have a question about business, entrepreneurship, career, life? Well, not so much life because we're still trying to live it ourselves, child. But you know, the other stuff. Me and Mandra are here for our weekly Brown Ambition question and answer.
Yes, ma'am. All right. We have some really good questions. If y'all want to drop us a question, just go to brownambitionpodcast.com and you can click Ask Us Anything to submit a question. Also, hit us up on Instagram. We are at Brown Ambition Podcast. We are checking your questions there as well. Today, we have a couple of home questions. So some interesting, juicy ones. Let's start with this question from Charlotte. Charlotte said, Mandy, in all caps. Tiffany is here too, Charlotte. Okay, so it was Mandy and Tiffany. What are the pros and cons of a HELOC? For those who don't know, a HELOC stands for a home equity line of credit. Charlotte says, my home has about $60,000 of equity, and I would like to tap into that to have several projects done. I was fortunate to buy a foreclosed home in 2015 for only $50,000. That doesn't need any expensive or large projects. I've been slowly refreshing it. My home is currently valued at about $125,000 by my county assessor. Okay, so that's how she's getting that equity.
Yes, estimate. First of all, let's give you a round of applause. Charlotte, yes, girl, yes. Smart we stand girls. A queen, right? A stand a smart queen. I'm going to assume that you bought the foreclosed home for the $50,000 cash, I'm assuming, just because typically foreclosures at that amount, they're not financing. So let's just assume that she doesn't have a mortgage, which is important to understand. So home equity line of credit, aka HELOC, means like you basically got to treat your home almost like a credit card. I came in like a credit card. Name that song, Mandy.
Miley Cyrus, Wrecking Ball.
Wrecking Ball.
Yes. You never know when the song trivia is going to come. Didn't think it'd be in a HELOC conversation, but I'm down.
So that just means that Charlotte has, and Charlotte, I was going to do this too, this home equity line of credit, because I was like, oh, okay. Basically, it means that Charlotte, I mean, you could do this even if you don't own your home straight out, but she can borrow the money up to a certain amount. Like, let's just say, to make the math easy, let's just say Charlotte, you know, the house is worth $100,000 and she put $50,000 in it or whatever. They don't let you take out the full amount of what all of your equity. They don't, because they're like, girl, you tried it. Instead, they let you take out a percentage. Don't quote me. I think it's around no more than 60% or something like that, but don't quote me.
I've seen up to 85.
Okay, 85, perhaps. Yeah. Like I said, don't
it
quote me.
It depends on the bank.
Yes.
It does.
But if you, the benefits of HELOCs, because there's certainly cons, but one of the benefits of HELOC is that typically the interest rate is more reasonable because the bank actually has a tangible thing or tangible thing to say, if Charlotte don't pay me, guess what we're going to do? Snatch that house, child. You know, so typically a HELOC, the interest rates are a little bit better. But some of the cons are interest rates are up overall. Charlotte, I'm assuming that you don't have a mortgage. And so I don't know if you like me, but I like not having a mortgage. But some of the benefits also, too, is that you said several projects done. I'm assuming that you're wanting to fix stuff on the house, which would, if you do so carefully, Charlotte, and I would reach out to a realtor and obviously a knowledgeable contractor, that what things can you fix where you'll get a return on that investment? So it could actually, she could take the money out. Say she took out, you know, $20,000, fixed up some bathrooms and got the return of $30,000. So there are pros and cons that we just shared with you. But Mandy, do you have some that I'm missing?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the biggest con, which is that your home is tied to it. So yes. If you default, then they can take your whole entire house, Shut which up. Is unfortunate.
That's called collateral.
Yes, it's for collateral. But that's why the rates can be lower. You know, and also with a HELOC, so there's a couple, you know, without getting like too technical, there's a home equity loan, which is like a lump sum loan, and a home equity line of credit, which is kind of like Tiffany said, it's more like a credit card. You don't have to use, they don't give you the full amount. You basically, you know, you make draws on that line as you need it. So you may not actually end up using all of your entire line, depending on how much work you need to have done. So it's a little bit more flexible in that way. And then you have to be clear on what your draw period is and then when you'd have to start making payments on that. So looking at the fine print is important. You don't have to use your loan, although it sounds like you are. For home improvements, which is smart, but you don't have to use it for home improvements. You know, you can use home equity loans or HELOCs for other expenses as well. Debt consolidation being another one. So it's a cool tool. It's also another piece of power for homeownership. It gives you that additional leverage. I don't know why it took me so damn long for it to click in my mind that when people said I'm taking out another mortgage on my home, this is what they're talking about. They're talking about taking out a home equity loan where you are essentially, again, taking out a loan against the value of your home. And second mortgages sound really scary, and they can be. It doesn't sound like a good idea, right? Like, why would I take out more debt against my home? But if you are in a position, like Tiff said, where you can make an investment with that money that it ends up benefiting you in the long run, then it can be a lot smarter than potentially, for example, you know, going into your cash savings account and taking a bunch of cash out. You know, in this way, you can make the improvements slowly and take advantage of low rates and keep your own cash flow, like keeping your own cash in the bank. Yeah. And keep it, yeah, flowing. Keep it flowing and available for you.
Because remember, Mandy, this is when I got like the low. Also, too, Charlotte, if you are a sister, you run the risk of having your home underappraised. I know your tax assessor said, so remember this, because remember the reason why I know all this, because I too was looking into a HELOC last year. Was it last year or the year before, if y'all remember? So my husband and I, we have two properties. One, well, both of them are paid off, but one was like our rental property. And we were considering pulling money out to put it into the market because the market was going up, honey. And like the house, although it was appreciating in value, meaning becoming more and more valuable, it wasn't as going up as fast as the market was. So I was like, well, we could take out maybe $100,000, put into the market, you know, get back whatever the market was going to yield, and then pay off the loan and then have some extra money from our pocket. But unfortunately, actually it was my personal private home. The appraiser underappraised us by about like $40,000 to $50,000, because black. And so I could say that like definitively, because I mean, they have so many articles. I mean, actually, it was a Washington Post wrote an article about me. I think maybe even the New York Times had like interviewed me as well. But yeah, they found that it was definitely underappraised because our house was brand new. Like some of the things that he wrote was like normal wear and tear. Like every hinge on the door was brand new. The house, we had finished renovations 6 months prior. What wear and tear? We hadn't even lived here really yet. So anyway, so you run the risk of that as well. You might want to look for a appraiser of some melanin if you are melanated. Or do what my husband and I had decided we were going to do, which was to get our white friend, Catherine. Hey, Catherine. To be me in the house, which is really terrible, but that's what we were going to do. So just keep that in mind, that that's a potential too. But you sound pretty responsible. So I mean, if you bought a foreclosure, paid $50,000 for it, you've already seen this increase. Just be mindful that, you know, money costs. So just make the most of it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your question, Charlotte.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Another one. This one comes from listener Cece. All right. Says, hey, Mandy.
Wait. Cece, do you love me? Name that song.
Isn't it Kiki?
It is, but I'm but just saying, it. Like, you know, yeah. Name that Drake. Song. Yes.
Drake. Shit. What's it called?
Meanwhile, I don't even know the name.
I don't know.
If you're riding, but at least you knew Drake. That's good enough. That's
I could do
enough.
The That's song from TikTok. I mean, the dance from TikTok. That's where you had to get out of the car while I was still moving, right?
Yes, it was. All right, go ahead. Read from Cece.
Okay. Cece says, Mandy, thank you. Oh, sending thanks for how you've maintained the show in Tiffany's time of healing. I hope Tiffany feels all the love being sent her way.
I do. Thanks.
Thanks, Cece. CC says, I recently bought my first property and moved out of my old apartment in February. I'm in the same city and have the same utility companies, but new accounts. Today, I received a call from a collections agency saying I didn't pay the final gas bill, which was due in March. The amount is only $35, but I don't remember getting that bill or any past due notices. It's completely possible that I lost track of it during the move. I went ahead and paid it, but now I'm worried that my credit score will be negatively impacted. I've had a perfect payment history on all of my accounts for almost 15 years, and now I'm worried that I've ruined it over $35. Aww. Please tell me what I should do. Aw, Cece, it's going to be okay.
Yes. First of all, Cece, let me tell you something. Like, one of my credit cards, I totally forgot to make a payment. And I thought I had automated, but I guess I didn't. And so, child, my credit score went from, and this is recently, an 802, Mandy, to a 687.
No,
I was like, the audacity, the goal.
Was it like super duper late? How late are we talking?
No, I mean, honestly, probably like a month late. I didn't even know. Like, I went in to look. I was like, wait, what?
Because I everything... miss credit card payments too, because I'm very disorganized sometimes.
But I couldn't believe it. You know what? It was two. That's why. It was like I had made it late, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to automate. And then the next month, I forgot to automate. So I think it was two late payments in a row. So I dropped so many points, and at first, my stomach sank. I mean, to go from an 802 to a 687, but then I remember, I'm not trying to buy nothing. Like, I have two homes already. I have a car. I'm not borrowing any money. That your credit... Like, that's like my 80-something-year-old dad stressing about credit. It doesn't mean you don't want to have decent credit, because you should. Credit basically says you should know me before you need me. So certainly you want to have a strong credit score. But you said you just bought a home. So I'm assuming you're not looking to borrow money anytime soon, especially not for a property. And so even if it does drop you, you have time. Like, since then, it's been like 3 or 4 months. And of course, I've made my regular payments. I've automated it. And now I'm at a, instead of a 687, I'm at like a 710 now. And so I'm sure by the end of the year, I'll be back in 800s, because girl, you're going to hold me down. But I say all that to say, try not to stress so much. And I wonder, Cece, did you call the gas company, or did you pay the creditors directly? Because sometimes, just so you know, in the future, you know, you might be able to reach out to the original company that you owe to see if I make this payment, can they kind of like pull back reporting that you were late? So that's just something to consider too.
This exact thing happened to me. It's after college. When I left, I graduated college and my roommates moved out, and I stayed for an extra month that summer because I was saving up to travel. And anyway, I got stuck with... This I forget what utility it was, but same situation. Like, I moved out and then I didn't realize it was still being charged, and it was like several months. So it actually was a collections agency at that point, and I was like, oh shit. But I wonder too, because it was only a month late. Sometimes businesses have, or even utilities or like other agencies, municipal agencies will have internal collections teams, and they can make it seem like it's the big, bad, scary debt collectors from the street. But it could just be, you know, someone from their company who wants to scare you enough to get you to just make your payment. So I would get clear on that, you know, and this happens to me with doctor's bills. It's so hard.
They're notorious for, like, it's a collection agency. Girl, it's Barbara down the hall. Like, it is Barbara down the hall.
It's Barbara from downstairs with her $30 copay. And I'm like, really, Barbara? Like, why? And like, so much wasted mail, so many notices about this copay. And it's so hard to keep track of which ones you paid and didn't pay. Anyway, so that happens to me. It has several times with doctor's bills. And at that point, I'm like, listen, I'm going to call the office directly, like Tiffany said, and make a payment, and then they'll get off your back. But, you know, even if it did ding your credit score, just like Tiffany said, it will bounce back with other good behavior. And it's another good, you know, reminder to just, if that happens, don't ignore it. Just quickly call. Because you may have prevented it from, you know, if it's not, how many days delinquent? I feel like after 45 days delinquent, 60 days is when creditors will report it, you know. But like your first, because I have not missed several credit card payments, because like I said, a little disorganized lately. I'm trying to get better about it. And I usually catch it really quickly, get on online chat with them and get it, you know, taken care of without having any dings to my credit score.
Yeah. And honestly too, you have to know that the biggest ding is within like the first 2 months. That's when it's like, yikes. But then it loses some power, because your credit score is like, I want you to think about like your financial GPA. It's an average of all of your financial choices as it relates to paying back. So it sounds like you've been an A plus student. So now you've gotten this one D. So that one D does not take an A plus student down to a D. It just might take you down to a B, a low B, you know? And so, but what happens is you continue to pay on time and in full, and you will get other A's to offset this one D. And before you know it, you will be back in A's again. Like, I'm already like, girl, you know, they had me down in C. We're not fit for C. So now I'm in a B minus. I suspect in a couple months I'll be a solid B, and I'll be back in A in fighting form, not borrowing any money anyway. So, yeah. So, I mean, that's for anybody who like stresses. Like, if you're not actually borrowing money, then I wouldn't stress too much. But you do want to always, like, you know, with your credit, you do want to, you know, especially if you're young, that you have your credit gearing and ready to go, ideally.
Yes, ma'am. All right, Cece. Thank you so much for your question and for your beautiful and kind words. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with another question from a listener who has a question about her 401k.
Uno más. Sacre bleu.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail, and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle, and I've lost 20 pounds already, and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
All right, y'all, we are back. Our third and final question of the show. First of all, it's so nice to have you back, Tiffany. This is our first BA Q&A back together. I don't got to just talk to myself for half an hour straight.
Really, you know, I was thinking nice. When you said back together, I was like, look at us, black together.
Black together. Yes, it's so nice to have someone to bounce off of. All right. This question comes from listener Stacy. Stacy says, I'm over 50 and I've made pretty decent money most of my life, but I've never saved in a 401k from my jobs. I started a new career in October 2021 and I'm now contributing to my 401k. What is the best bet for ever being able to retire?
Stacy, first of all, congratulations with your new career, 2020. Okay. So, Stace, your best bet is going to be to max out your 401k. Okay, you start a new career, you're contributing now. Good, I'm glad you're contributing. One, normally, you know, Manny and I will talk about like contributing to at least whatever your company's matching. But because you're like, you know, you're starting a little later, that's okay. I would want you to contribute the max, which is, what is the max, Mandra? What is it, $20,500? If you can.
$20,500 for 2022.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. But the government knows we stay late. They're like, sis, you stay late. So you know what they have? They have something called catch-up contributions. What that means is that if you are 50 or older, which you are, sis, they let you put an additional amount of money in because they like, we know y'all be late. Talking about you ready. You just got out the shower. I'm headed your way. Meanwhile, you haven't even ironed your clothes yet. They know. So for 2022, you can put an additional $6,500 into your 401k so you can catch up on some contributions. And so you can do that from now until, you know, because what is retirement age now, Mandy? 64, 65?
Oh, Lord, I don't remember. You can start doing withdrawals at 62, but full retirement age, like when you get your full Social Security benefit, is 67, I believe.
67. So, I mean, it's up to you when you want to stop working. But if you are working, you know, you can continue to do catch up contributions now until you stop working. So just like keep that in mind that like, and here's the thing, it's better that you started than you've not started. Try not to beat yourself up. The fact that you've asked the question is great, but I would, if you can lower your, you know, monthly expenses, max out your 401k and max out catch up contributions if possible.
Yeah. And I mean, you're exactly in the same boat that my dad is in right now, blowing up my phone like I'm Vanguard's customer support. My goodness. Honestly, I'm about to take my dad to like Edward Jones or something and be like, take this, man. Just do it. No, but, you know, getting an outsider's perspective to help you can also, and I would see, you know, sometimes your company itself, your 401k plan may have experts who you can contact to get you started. So I would not turn down that kind of help. I was doing a talk at Synchrony, actually. This is a big, you know, financial company, and it was all women, like hundreds of women. And the number of women who hadn't even like gone to their benefits department and enrolled is really staggering. And then after the talk, a lot of them were going. And I'm like, listen, the email's usually like benefits@whateveryourcompanysname.com, and like make those people do their jobs. Like help you get started and on the right path. So that's all I would say. And also, if you were wondering, I showed my dad how to do this too. SSA.gov is the Social Security Administration's website, and you can actually see what your expected benefit will be. So if you log on, you can see your statement, your Social Security benefit statement, which will pretty much have your entire history of earnings and also give you an estimate of how much you can expect your benefit to be depending on what age you start collecting. So it's like 62, 65, 67, they do a whole thing. And that can give you some like realistic numbers to work with, because it sounds like you're stressed about being able to retire. And like you may think that you may never be able to, but I would start there as well. So you have some real data to look at. So what actually is my expected benefit amount? And then how much would I need to supplement that? Look at your expenses now and kind of start backing into how much additional income do I want to bring? Do I need to bring in? Do I need to downsize? Do I need to, you know, look for other ways to increase my income and start planning? Yeah. You know, start planning and for that all now.
Get creative with increase. Because you have this new career, I'm assuming maybe you have a new skill set. Can you monetize that skill set for some little side money? I feel like everybody, you know, could always use a little extra money on the side. So don't be afraid to get a little, you know, side hustle on. Yeah. So, you know, good luck to you, Stace.
Thank you so much for your question. You'd be surprised how many of my coaching clients are in their 50s. As in you, I mean me. I was surprised. It's a lot of badass women out there who were like, no, I'm done with this. I want something better.
I love that.
So that's why I love about your question, because you said you just got a new career in October. And it's just like, yes, it's never too late. Mm-hmm. It's not too late. Yes, there's age discrimination, which is like we can't really control that. But you have proven that it can happen. So we're proud of you. Good luck, Stacey. All right, we did it. First BA Q&A. Back-ish.
We did it. Lo insimos.
All right, y'all, go to brownambitionpodcast.com and ask us anything. Also check us out on IG at brownambitionpodcast. Also check your inboxes, because the Brown Ambition newsletter is happening, y'all. It's coming out every Wednesday. You'll get the latest from that week's episodes with our tip of the week. So if you're not signed up to our newsletter, go to brownambitionpodcast.com and get with the program. Okay, it only took us 7 years, but now we got y'all covered. I feel like we're just getting started, okay?
We are.
All this talk about never too late, it applies to us too.
Never too late, never too late, never too late. I'm very
no more song trivia. I can't. I don't know. I don't know, Tiff. It's stressful.
That was Luther. Never too much, never too much. All right, y'all. Until next week. Bye-bye.
Hey, BA fam, we could not do this show without your support or the support of our team behind the scenes. The Brown Ambition podcast is produced by Cumulus Podcast Network. It's edited by the wonderful Imani Crosby and produced by Tanya Bustos. Dennis Stemplinski is our in-house tech guru, and I am Mandy Woodruff Santos, your co-host, and I will see y'all next week.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.